sperming outside. There's so much. Is sporin and spermin.
Yeah.
All over.
So much tree jizz. Tree jizz every which way you look. Running down your eyeballs. All over your cars. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be a little sniffly too. I've been outside all day. And so I my eyes and my nose are just, you know what? They're wide open.
They're open. See, mine have had enough. They've shut the doors. They have gone, you know what? We're going to inflame and get real sore. So that's where I'm at. But I wanted to tell everyone. And so, you know, now you know. Now you know.
Yes.
Welcome to
I'm glad.
The Witch Bitch Amateur Hour, a podcast about witchcraft. I'm Charlie, and I drink your milkshake. This is my cousin Macy.
Wow. I'm Macy, and the milkshake that Charlie drinks brings the boys to the yard.
Oh, what a lovely little tie-in.
Yeah, there you go.
For can you believe some, that for do you ever listen, this actually works as a nice little segue here, because I was gonna say, can you ever believe, do you ever just look back on popular songs and go, huh, why was that such a hit?
Yes. Yes, I can, because I've been listening to that playlist that Edward hates. And because of that, I have revisited a lot of early aught songs. And I'm like, whoa.
I wanted to segue into the songs that would annoy Edward Cullen playlist. That, first of all, I want to say is beautiful. Who sent us that?
I nobody did. It was on the shit posting group.
First of all, the cover photo is beautiful. It's just him making that stank face. Not even like the popular, like something like Bella, you stink face, but just like an upset face. And it just says, great. And I love it. It brings me joy. And I wanted to talk to you about the ones I've been listening to it since we started talking about it. And I can't stop. And there's a few songs I just wanted to just say at you that I think are hilarious for various reasons. And the first one, Spanish Influenza by Petting Zoo. Genius. Of course. You know what? Yes. Song aside, I feel like he would see that and just go, oof. Let's see.
Yes.
Fantasy by Ludacris.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine him listening to such an explicit song. The one that sent me, though, the one that just fucking sent me, and I think it's because I haven't thought about the song in a million years, Fuck the Pain Away by Peaches.
Dude, it comes in so hard and fast. And it's everything that Eddie Boy just should have done from the start instead of bottling it up inside.
Oh, and you know, he hates it. And then Anything by Cupcake, when that rolls around, that's hilarious, always. But
well, because here's the thing, this is like what I was telling you. Also, what do your, when you talk, what does your ring look like? You sound a little blown out to me on my end.
How's this right here?
That sounds excellent.
Okay, it was way up.
That sounds really good.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, so y'all, just a little voice note here. Y'all, we just made some audio settings if we sound a little bit different. There was a thing.
I feel like I don't talk this much usually up at the front of episodes, so I love that I was just blowing everybody's ears away.
Oh,
what were you
really
gonna say?
Blaring?
Anything by Cupcake.
That's the beauty of this playlist, right? Is that it catches you unaware, because sometimes I'll just be like vibing to it, and then I'll remember what it is that I'm listening to and why it's on this playlist. And that's what I was telling you today. And I've got a follow up for it, dude. I've got a follow up because this rattled me. So yesterday I was driving to town and I was listening to this playlist because I listened to it all fucking day. And so I was driving to town and Moves Like Jagger came on, right? I told you this.
Yes.
And I broke. Like, part of me just... Remember when I told you that I was listening to Midnight Sun and I hit this weird level of hysteria where I just, like, this laughter bubbled out of me at just the sheer unhinged absurdity at what I was getting myself into?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And that happened because I was just... I let myself imagine Eddie listening to this for the first time.
Yeah.
And just like how he would grapple with the stupidity of it as compared to fucking Chopin or whatever else shit that he listens to on his free time aside from Linkin Park.
There's, oh God, I forgot he does love that violent music. The funnier, it goes a deeper layer to me for that one, because it's like, he was there for Jagger. Like, he was there for, like, OG in his prime Jagger.
And then he
followed up with that lame piece of shit. It's, like, even worse.
Yeah.
I had a similar moment where I forgot what I was listening to. I forgot the playlist. And some of the songs came on, and I was like, okay, it's, like, early aughts jam. You know, usually a lot of them are from the early aughts. But then I Love You, Jesus by Trisha Paytas came on. And I stopped in my tracks. I stopped in my tracks and I went, what in the world did this come on for? And then I remembered the playlist and I didn't even laugh. Do you ever, like,
yes,
you break so hard that you don't even laugh? Your body just goes, if I laugh at this, I'm going to laugh so hard I vibrate.
No, some of them were so genius. Like, yeah. I was struck dumb by the genius. That's how I was with Hungry Like a Wolf, because Hungry Like a Wolf came on. And I was like, why is this playing? I haven't heard this song in years. And then I was like, oh, my God.
Jacob. And
I smell like I sound.
There's double meaning. I like, they're shine bright like a diamond, which the whole thing. Anyway, check it out.
Yeah.
Y'all, it's songs that would annoy Edward Cullen. I'll see if we can figure out how to put the link to it in the show notes. But
yeah, we can just link it. I have the link for it. We'll put it in the show notes.
Great. Because
y'all need to just, y'all, but one, two, or another thing. It's kind of a lit ass playlist, in my personal opinion.
There's some songs on there that make me go woof. But for the most part, I would say 90% of it lit. Also, Country Girl, Shake It For Me, Girl. Shake It For Me, Girl. Shake It For Me.
Dude, I admit, I was driving home yesterday and that one, like, came on its own through the shuffle of that playlist. And if I wasn't the fucking dude in that scene of Big Lebowski when he's punching the roof of the car, like, I don't know what I was. I was really complete in that moment of how stupid this life is and how beautiful at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Similar, listen, I think I connected in that way with that song recently. I was streaming the other day, and which, by the way, streams are back on now that the computer's broken. Anyway, side note. Anyway, I was streaming Sims, and I asked everyone, I was like, do y'all remember in The Sims, I think it was The Sims 3, Luke Bryan himself, because Sims 3 is when it was like they started getting people to come in and like do their renditions. They got like the Black Eyed Peas, except that might have been Sims 2. Anyway, they were getting real musicians to come and put music in, and they got Mr. Luke Bryan himself to come and do Country Girl, Shake It For Me, Girl, Shake It For Me, Girl, Shake It For Me on Sims 3. But the catch is they have to do it in Simlish. So there's a Simlish,
which I applaud him for doing this, really. I gotta admit.
Me too. But there were some people who were like, no way. So I went and I was like, they can't get me for this, because this isn't like the actual song. Because I didn't realize it was that big of a deal, but I like tried to stream the other day with music in the background. They shut me down real quick. But
damn it.
God, they went fast. But I was like, you know what? They can't do this one, because this isn't the real fucking one. So I went, and on the stream, I feel like we listened to that song probably 3 times in a row. And every time I started it up, I was just on the verge of saying it to the last time. I said, y'all, is this song actually kind of a bop? And like, everybody in the comments
was
like,
you know what is a bop? The beat itself is, you got to admit it. It's a dance track. Underneath it all, that's a dance track. It's got the tempo of a dance track. It's made to vibe to. Yeah, it's got the formula. It even has the bridge. It's got the exact formula. Yeah, that song is tailor-made via a very figured out and played out formula to make white people tap their toes. It just is. It's just the way that it goes. And so I was thinking the same thing when I was driving. The problem is, and this is why I think it might have been easy for him to do the Simlish, is because when the words are already that fucking stupid, who cares if you're singing gibberish? You're already, already nonsense.
Brother, I'm going to challenge you, Macy, but everyone whose ears this is reaching, listen to the original Luke Bryan, Country Girl, Shake It For Me, Girl, Shake It For Me, Girl, Shake It For Me. And then listen to the Simlish version. And I want you to tell me that he did almost not understand the assignment. Like, I could see him being there, his big, dumb country face, good-hearted, wanting to do something fun for the kids or whatever, but not get, okay, you want me to do the song, but not sing the words? And yeah. like some of the yeah. words are just dead ass the same words. So just please
fantastic.
Listen to them back to back. It's fucking hilarious. And you know who especially needs to listen to that song? It's today's Patreon shout out from our Patreon shout out segment. Joanna.
Ooh, that's pretty.
If you're struggling to find a song to which to stick Joanna in right now, I'm going to have to...
Or are you thinking of Rosanna by Toto? Joanna, Joanna.
I was thinking of Country Girl, Shake It For Me, Girl, Shake It For Me, Girl, Shake It For Me.
I immediately went to Joanna. What is it? Never thought could have a hurt so bad. He gets really into that one.
Rosanna.
Not quite Rosanna. A year since you went away. Rosanna.
I always think of that
And then
scene.
There's synth. Ba-da-da-da. Ugh.
It's a slamming song. Toto fucking slaps.
I love
dude.
That song.
Speaking of getting white people to tap their toes, have you heard the... Okay, you know on that show How It's Made, there's the iconic mm-hmm. voiceover guy, right? And yeah. apparently they were doing... I don't know if it was somebody doing like a parody of this or if they stole it or ripped it from the exact episode. Either way, I think they're talking about Cheez-Its or something. And they're showing it and there's a bunch of Cheez-Its like on a conveyor belt and they're shaking a bunch. And he goes something about like, this makes these happy little crackers bounce up and down. And people have taken that and they'll play like a snippet of like Sweet Caroline. And then they'll cut to that. This makes these happy little crackers bounce up and down.
Bounce up and down.
Bounce up and down. And if you've never seen a room full of drunk wasps listening to Sweet Caroline, you've not lived.
You bounce up and down.
They absolutely bounce up and down. And sometimes, you know what? You can't help it. You can't help it but throw out a, so good, so good.
Speaking of bouncing up and down, have you seen that performance of Luke Bryan when he falls down on stage and he just cannot get back up?
No.
It's very chaotic. Like, I think he's drunk. And he's singing one of his songs that all sounds exactly the same. And he's doing like a little bouncy thing. And he like, I don't remember exactly if he like falls, kind of like stumbles, but he winds up, his back's on the ground. And one of his like roadies or aides keeps trying to like help him up. And he's basically just like swatting the guy away. No. It's very chaotic.
If y'all just heard typing, it was because I immediately went to Facebook and wrote Macy a message to send me that video. But you know what?
I will.
How hard could it be? What if I just went to YouTube and wrote Luke Bryan?
You'll find it. You'll find it. It is very chaotic. So that's a little sweet treat for you after this, if you just want to have
is he singing
a giggle?
That's My Kind of Night.
Bro, they literally all sound the same. I can't tell you.
Oh, you know what I hate, though?
Mm.
I hate that he fell and he immediately started humping the air.
I knew you were going to say it. The little upward thread. That's what I meant by bounce up and down. When I segued all of this, I never explained. But it's that, just those little motions. It's terrible.
He's not accepting help.
None.
Okay. All right, should we link this video?
The guy eventually just walks away. He just keeps...
Okay, we're going to link this video too. But, Jesus, wow. Today's Patreon shout out segment. Thank you, Joanna. So sorry.
Joanna.
We are making up for last week's shitsode, I feel like. We're coming at you with energy today. But what are we actually talking about? However many minutes in this has been.
16. I have a conversational for you. It was supposed to be the one that I used last week, but all our shit broke. But it's working. Yeah. I got a new charger, so my computer is alive and not well, but alive and functioning, which is all that we can ask. So I've been very thoughtful lately because like the new crop of teacher trainers at the studio I trained at Yama are there and they're like they're starting out their whole process and it's had me
are
very
they just like babies?
Thoughtful. It's just so exciting. Like I'm a little bit like
proud
envious
mom.
Is too strong of a word, but I'm wistful. I guess.
Yeah.
You know, of the they're starting out this experience that changed my life. And it made me really want to, I've just been thinking about how happy I am that I listened to that call. And that's what I want to talk about today, is the call and making plans and figuring out a way to finally be like, all right, I've got to do this, because this is something that just doesn't leave me. And it's something I need to do. My spirit says I need to do it. I need to do it. So that's what I'm going to talk about today, is just making peace with that. And then figuring out like, okay, then if this is something, spirit, that you're telling me I need to do, now what? You know, and just kind of through telling my own story, just talk about what that's like and maybe encourage, you know, and I've been seeing it a lot lately anyway. The days that I did this topic, I swear, or like within the days that I was like kind of, you know, I would write on it and go back and write on it and kind of go back, I saw multiple posts that were either talking about leaving jobs or saying that I have left. Today's the day I'm done. I'm doing my own thing. And I keep seeing it. And I'm really excited about that. And it just feels like this is the right time to talk about it. Just because with things being so uncertain as they are, and they're just kind of being the spirit right now that so many people have of being like, fuck it, I'll do it on my own then. And there's something beautiful about that. Yeah. And so I just wanted to talk about it.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about the much less inspiring sounding. I'm talking about lilies today. I had just a little bit of an epiph. And I was like, what am I going to talk about? You know, I'm going to try to, you know, just that, it's that point where it comes around, you're like, okay, next topic time, what am I going to talk about? And you have like a million things kind of float through your head and you're like, okay, cool. I could do all of these, but like, what is sparking my joy right now? And I, you know, I came around to lilies, and at first it was so weird. I don't even know what this reaction was about. I thought about lilies and I was like, no, I can't talk about a flower. I have no idea why I thought that.
Interesting. No clue. We've talked about a lot of flowers.
So many. And then when I got into it, it was actually kind of hard to find a super lot of information. I did finally kind of dig down and really get to it and get into some, like, you know, those websites that like are a little scary because they don't have a name that's like Magic of Lilies, but it's like,
yes,
lilies.413 blah blah, you know.
Yes, I know exactly the ones. Yes,
sus looking link, you know. I cracked a couple of those open and I got to some sweetness in the middle, but yeah, I'm going to talk to you about lilies today. And let's see, before the shit sewed, there was the spooky sewed, and before that was bananas. Yes. And cattails. So how are we going to do? Wow. Who goes first? You want to flip a coin, or would you like to go second because you went first on bananas and cattails? Or how do you want to care.
We can flip if you want to flip. I
kind of want you to flip that lighter because I want to see what happens.
I'm scared. I don't. I'm so fucking scared.
I'm scared. Will you tell the truth? I'm scared.
I always do.
Okay. I pick donut side. I picked donut side.
Okay, here's the deal. That lighter is, I don't know where it is. I just sort
of, whoa!
I'm at a loss, but I have another one. I have a plain beige Bic lighter that's plain beige. Great. And then barcode that's mostly worn off, but I can still tell that it's a barcode. This is an old
maybe
lighter.
It was the lighter.
Maybe.
It was a little heavier. I'm hopeful. But we've switched out which side. You know what? Give me that barcode.
You want barcode?
I don't
want
to take... I don't want to take plain beige, man. That seems, bad luck.
It's essentially just Bella Swan in a lighter. All right, take a breath.
Okay.
I'm so fucking scared. I fucking won, goddammit! Fuck! I don't need this! What is tormenting me so?
Dude, hold on. You're looking at it all wrong. This is not a curse. This is, you've been gifted. What can you do with this power? You need to start challenging people.
What if it's only against you?
Hold on. Wait. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're not winning. Maybe I'm just losing.
Maybe you're cursed to lose every coin flip.
So here's what we're going to have to do. we're gonna have to do individual research on this and do some flips against other people and see what happens.
Okay. Okay. You know what? Actually, that feels good. That feels good. That feels right. Okay.
It's good. You know what? It's always good to, if you feel cursed, because, you know, we've talked about how these things can so easily happen. Test it out. You know, do some work.
Test it out.
Maybe
some field work.
Yeah. And sometimes it's as stupid as lighter flipping, but God damn it, we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Oh, all right. I guess I'm going first.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess you are, Mace.
Shut up. So here we go. Let's talk about the call.
It's coming from inside the house.
Inside the house. I've been thinking about this a lot for a couple of reasons. One, because it's just wild that enough time has passed already that it's like time for a new batch of teachers to be starting their own program. Mm.
How long is the program? Sorry, I will keep interruptions to a minimum. 7 months.
Yeah, it's 7 months.
God, it feels like you just graduated.
I know. It's crazy. And I remember starting it being like, man, that's going to be so long. And then being like halfway through it and being like, well, we're like halfway through. And then it was over. You know, it goes by so quickly because it's so rewarding. And now it's like, man, I've been out long enough to like see the cycle start over without me in it. You know, and that's just, it's very thought provoking to do that. And it's just gotten me thinking on the power of a year, and not even just like necessarily like that combined period, but just like what some time can encapsulate if we don't dwell so hard on it. You know, like I remember when I started, I thought it was going to take a long time. And in reality, it's over already. And I'm completely different. And a lot of that was because I just fucking loved it. You know, like I really enjoyed it. And I remember certain like similar passages of time sometimes in semesters in college, like particularly my later ones, but also like my first semesters when I went to junior college here at TJC, which I actually very much like wound up largely preferring over the university. It had an art department there. The TJC art department is like one of the most beautiful places in the world. It's this open, loving place. And like, it was probably one of the most creative parts or times in my life because you walked in and at any given time in this giant concrete room, there's just people painting, doing what the fuck ever. Some were doing pastels. Someone might be doing like a classical style oil type, or someone might be slinging paint, or somebody just might be in the back reading, but they came there because it's a safe space and the professors don't care what you're fucking making as long as you're creating. It was magical.
Is it like that art school from Bridgerton?
Not nearly as sexy at all. But validating, I guess you can say. I felt about as validated as Benedict did when he's finally getting to do his thing that his poor, sad, rich, rich, rich life never let him do before. But it's sometimes like time flies when you're really having fun, you know, like in the later semesters were kind of the same way. Like when I was in the nitty gritty of what I was studying, I felt like, all right, I'm getting to kind of figure some stuff out here. And that time would really go by a lot quicker because it's really true that time flies when you're having fun, you know, and we're really sometimes like, despite that, like, you know, knowledge, I sometimes think if we can remember that saying, ventures that we are interested in that might be really intimidating might not be so difficult in when you're in the thick of it. You know, like, for instance, like before teacher training starting, I just thought it was going to be this really long thing, this long investment of time. I was worried about balancing everything and doing it all in 7 months. Like, it's going to change my routine for 7 months. That's a decent investment of time, and I need to make sure I can do it. Or is it going to be too much? Like, all of these things. However, it flew by. And I think that's because we're good at forgetting things, like me included. And we're really good at building up things in our mind so that they seem impenetrable. You know, like me very much included in that one. Mm-hmm. And I started training completely self-taught. I had no experience, like an untumbled stone. I had not been put in the rock polisher. There was no rock polisher for me. And
we're dusty and jagged.
I was rough hewn. I just knew that I was going to be so far behind everybody. I was just going to be like a fucking hayseed rolling up in there, you know, like I wasn't going to be good enough to, like, even though I'd been practicing 2 years, I'd maybe only been to 3 in-person yoga classes, like totally self-taught. And so I was just like, I'm not going to cut it, you know, like I'm walking into something that I'm not ready for.
Everybody else is going to be like a level 10.
Yeah. Way better. Yeah. Way better than me. Like, cause I don't even belong here. You know, like I shouldn't even be doing this. And then you spiral out of control and you almost, that's how it goes.
And then you sit in your car for like a little too long before you walk in and you're like, I walked in shaking.
I literally walked into that studio shaking. And I remember the first night we sat in a circle and we introduced ourselves. And I was terrified. And this was new for me because I'm not a shy person. And it's because I cared. Like, I really wanted to be so worthy in this space that I was petrified. And, like, petrified to the point of counting how many people were in front of me in the circle, like, frantically seeing my turn approaching as my mind was, like, racing. And, like, what the fuck am I going to say to these people? My teeth were chattering. And I was just like, why am I here? Like, what am I doing here? And this rocked me. Like, this put me on my heels because, like, I'm not, like, this isn't, like, a brag, but, like, I was in the top 10 impromptu speakers in the nation for, like, in 2015. Like, hey, I don't have a problem speaking in front of
shout out to the, like, it's something that the first episode
I can do. Yeah, there you go. Number eight in the nation. But, like, that's all to say, like, that's just to give an example. Like, I don't struggle to speak in front of strangers. I never have. It's not a big deal. Our family essentially, like, forced me to perform in front of people. I sang the choir. I was in theater. You know, I'm not afraid to talk in front of people. My stage fright button is pretty broken. It's kind of done, you know, until right then when I realized how badly I didn't want them to think that I was a hack. Exactly. That was it. That was the root.
The difference there to me, and this could be different for you, but, like, I could get up on stage. We've done that together with this podcast. I can get up on stage and do the goofiest shit, you know, and not feel an ounce of whatever about it, you know? But if I'm in a space where I feel like I'm going to be, it's almost like if I know I'm going to see these people again, and at the shows we've done, I know we're going to see some of them again, you know, or we still have several days left of being in the same group. But you know what I mean? If I know for 7 months I'm going to see these people again every single day, I got to live up every day of those 7 months. And that's what's
scary.
There's
stakes involved. Yeah. Like, there's real stakes involved. And I was passionate, you know, and it's like, man, I feel like sometimes worst of all, the imposter syndrome strikes where you're passionate. It's like, it's the nastiest part about it. It's where it goes. And I've just been thinking about the difference between that night, you know, and even how it was the following months into now. And, like, in the time of about 1 year, how transformed everything is. Because I chose to do something for myself, you know, like, because I finally decided, fuck it, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm scared to death. I don't really know how we're going to afford it, but I'm going to do it. And one of the hardest things, I think, can be the decision, you know, like, and it only, you know, as life gets harder every year, as things get more expensive and obligations pile up, it can be very difficult to rationalize a decision to expand ourselves in a new direction, especially if you're responsible for others. You know, it can be really hard to rationalize that. Very selfish. And especially if money is tight, like, how do we justify these costs? You know, both in time and in money, like the costs of books, new equipment, time needed to study that will be taken away from family or perhaps a second job. Like, how do you do it? How do we rationalize these investments? How do we prepare? How do we do this for something that hasn't even come to be yet, especially when in the back of our mind, we're worried we can't even pull it off? You know, like, it's difficult to do that for ourselves if we have a family, an existing job, or a schedule that's already set in stone and predictable. Like, that can be a hard hurdle in itself. Having, like, comfortability in your schedule and you feel like you're in a rhythm, it can be really intimidating to upset that. And it's going to be upset by doing something new like this. And it can also be intimidating if you've not been a student for a while. You know, like, I've always loved school, and I was that really annoying student in the front of the class asking, you know, the clarifying questions. But, like, at this point, I hadn't been a student for 6 years since college. And this was something I actually, like, fucking cared about, you know, and that made it more intimidating. Like, college was predictable. I knew what to expect. It was very transactional. I show up, I give you my attention, I take the test, you take my money, I leave. That's how college was, you know?
Yeah.
And with this, I was clueless, like, of how this dynamic is going to work. This isn't a college environment. This is, like, a really emotional environment, and, like, it's spiritual, and I want this, you know? Like, it was an arena that was completely new. And then I would think, like, well, I went to college, I got the degree. Is me branching into something else admitting that I was wrong? You know, that it was for nothing and college was a waste of time. And, like, I don't believe that, but you have these thoughts, you know, like, in at least in my personal case, like, I needed to go to college because I was an academic, you know, like, I had to go. I wanted to go. And it did help me in my own path. But those thoughts were there, you know, like the back of the brain kind of being like, you know, all those student loans are going to be for nothing if you go to yoga school. And just all the time, there's all these fucking thoughts. And
that was just, like, me at night in your room.
Yeah, just whisper. You run like a little tin can through the window, yeah, like under the bed. Just have it there. Just,
you're going to
never gonna be good enough. And I think that we can get in a mode sometimes to where we think that in order to have growth, you have to take something out of one basket and put it into the other. You know, like, I'm not negating my degree if I decide to do something else that's not even really related to it. You know, even, like, although my degree is kind of, it's a business degree. You can kind of slap that on top of anything and be like, oh, I'm using it, even though it's like, you don't learn anything in business school that you actually fucking need. But, like, and if those, like, fears aren't enough, then you worry, like, can I get the work done? Like, I've not been a student for a while. Like, am I even going to grasp this? Am I going to be able to study as good as I used to?
What if I'm stupid?
Yeah. Like, is this even going to, am I going to get it?
Smooth brain. Yeah.
Right. You know, and, like, do I think I know shit when I get there and I'm going to really be, like, I need to be in, like, what's technically, like, the intro to intro course, like, all of these things. And I was like, is my fucking body going to hold up? You know, I'd had a wrist injury that I just healed, but I'd had it for a year and it had only been gone for, like, a couple months. And I, like, am I going to get injured in the process? You know, like, what, all of these things. Like, I hadn't written a paper in years, you know, but I knew I was going to have to write papers. Like, what the fuck is that going to be like, you know? And then, as you mentioned earlier, I was afraid, like, I was being selfish as hell, you know? Like, Hunter was super supportive, but I knew that that school payment each month technically could have gone to other things that would have helped us both more in that moment by, like, a lot. You know, like, and
but the thing
there
is
guilt there.
Usually when you feel that, like, oh, fuck, I'm being selfish, that's like coming from inside. Like, at no point, I'm guessing, did he use those words to you. At no point did he call you selfish. You know,
no,
it's from other people, but it feels like it is.
No, it's from you. Yeah, it's from, especially, it's like, I'm an acts of service person. You know, and so doing something like this feels like the opposite of that, even though it really, it was an investment in the future. In the moment, I'm just like, I'm taking all of this money. And is this a righteous cause, or is this a whim?
And that's fuck you to everybody around me.
Right. You know, you just have all of these internal, just this, like, fucking cauldron of just shit that smashes around in your head when you're trying to make a decision like this. And I think we sometimes need to sit and ask ourselves why we feel guilty. like really, and sit with the emotion, get to the root of it. Because when I actually tried, I couldn't find an answer. There were really only pros in the situation, and the cons were much more minor. You know, yes, it was going to be tighter in those months. And yes, I would have a lot that I would have to do, but it was a long game. You know, and when I really thought about it, when I thought about the purpose of it all and sat with the guilt and picked it apart, it kind of deflated. You know, it was like a paper emotion that was casting a really big shadow. But when you take the light out from behind it, it's just like a piece of paper, you know? And
brother, if we've said just, it once, we've said it 100 times, sit down and make a physical pros and cons list. Man.
Oh, it's one of the best things in the world. And I think the biggest thing sometimes can be that it the root of it is that it can be really hard to do things for ourselves, even though we might be the biggest cheerleaders for others when it comes to doing the same thing. You know, it's especially difficult if you're kind of generally frugal, especially towards yourself, you know, and that money could go towards fixing the siding or towards, you know, the children or towards an existing business or a hobby. Like it's just, you know, and also too, and this is something that it is a state, if you're in survival mode, the thought of adding anything new to that can seem absolutely preposterous. Like it really can. And all of these things make it harder to pull that trigger and decide to go learn something new. And then the cherry on top of all of those things is time. It's going to take time. There's going to be a swath of time that you'll be able to probably have an idea of. Like I knew I was in it for 7 months. Programs sometimes last 2 years, you know, or four, whatever you're doing, you know? And I just remember when I was like writing like papers for hours just about every day. And, you know, I was reading this brand new mind-altering information that I had never heard before. And I was going in and out of the studio all the time to take my required hours of classes. Like I was needing to then like put sequences together, and it used to take a whole afternoon and it came before it came natural to me, you know, and then at the end of those days, I'd have like 2 brain cells left and need to do, you know, the podcast research after writing the papers and then worried about like, is this research or is the podcast research? Am I going to be too dull? You know, like, am I going to be sound a little scorched, like burned out or like, I worried the months would be so long, and they weren't. It was fine. Because while I was working really, really hard, I was soaking up the information like a sponge because I was hungry for it. You know, I was doing something that I was there to do. And unlike college, you know, where the courses are a means to end, like this was just like world opening, you know? And I guess I shouldn't have such an attitude about college. It's just, I just personally got a little burned out with it by the end, but be great.
It's not like, it's also... College can be great, you know, but one thing that burned me out, which eventually sort of left me to be like, I'm not sure this is for me. I'm going to dip, is like the hoops you have to jump to get to where you want to go. You know what I mean? Like at the time, I couldn't just go and say, hey, I want, like I eventually ended up in massage school. I couldn't just be like, yo, I want to do massage. Give me those relevant classes. It's like, you also have to do all the other shit, and that can be draining. So it's not on par exactly, because you're not working 100% towards something that's like feeding your soul, like doing the teacher training was for you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's exactly it. You know, like, well, I did. I love school. I've always loved school. I love school. I do well in it. But I had never gone to school that was built entirely around a passion. And that's what I want to drive home here, is that if you've got something stuck in your craw and you can't let it go, it's like an area of study, a certification, an apprenticeship, anything of the sort. And like, you know that it's a path that it's surrounded by your interest, and that can be liberating because you're going to spend all of your time learning pertinent information towards your area of study that you've chosen for yourself. And that really opens things up, and it can help make the fears that are definitely going to be present with you if you decide to make this leap, it helps them all melt away a bit, because you're in a state that you have created for yourself in which you can absorb something that you're passionate about. And it's going to be difficult. And it has its, again, it has its pros and cons to that starting point. But it changes the scope, it changes the span of time when you're in a state like that. And not all certification programs or apprenticeships or even like courses that just educate you on certain areas that you're interested in, they're not all confined to a year's time. And what I mean by like the power of, you know, a year when I started is just that capsule of time that we measure, however long it is. And time flies when you're having fun. And even if that fun is spent with your fingers flying across a keyboard, writing papers or, you know, studying and trying to take new information into your brain, even if you've not studied for a while, our brains are hungry to be illuminated, especially in knowledge that we find meaningful, that our spirit has whispered to us, learn this, like learn this. And it's still there year after year. Do this thing. You know, this is what you're supposed to do. When you listen to that and walk that path, even if it's a few steps at a time, you know, it's in small bites. We want it, you know, like our spirit wants it. It responds to it with illumination.
Oh, illumination. I thought you said our brains wanted illumination.
They just really need to just poot out all of the old shit and take in the new. Just,
I was sitting here and I was like, is there a use for this word I've never heard?
You're giving your brain an enema.
That sounds like I'd sign up for that though.
Doesn't it sound nice? Flush it all out. Take it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plug your brain up to like a washing machine. Just.
Yeah. Yeah. Suck it all out. And Andy, in this span of time, and of course I can only speak for my own experience, but also just in what I saw in the people that I went through training with, you can see the fears fall off. They just fall away. And for me, like guilt, even in considering such a thing for myself, it melted away too into just like radical change, you know, like I emerged out of myself. I found it was like in walking this path, I was able to open up a little bit because my spirit was like, yes, like finally you fucking listened and I could expand. Yeah, I could be something different than I was when I started. And I guess at the root, this is a very, this is a dreams are beautiful kind of topic, you know, and sometimes that can be a little ridiculous to listen to, especially as things get more expensive and uncertain, dreams can fall to the wayside a bit. And I get that because they had for me, you know, in regards to being like, you know, especially during the pandemic, like this was another thing. Like, this was my first foray into the outside world again, you know, like aside from like running into Walmart in and out, like in a bit of a panic because I was being in, like, I lost the ability to be around others aside from like you and Hunter and Lyra, you know, a very tight circle, and my mom. I get the fear of it, you know, of thinking like it's too far gone, you know, like that was another big intimidation factor for me. It was like, I'm gonna have to get to know these people. I'm gonna have to be touched by people. Like, I knew enough to know, like, I'm probably, you know, it was a lot. I'm going to have to be vulnerable in front of people, which I hate, you know? And I just think, especially as practitioners of magic, as witches or whatever title that you choose to go by, we know what the call is, you know? And even if it ebbs and flows with our emotional state or just our general capability, the feeling, like, you know, like that deep one that's from a part of you that's never wrong, it shouldn't be ignored forever. And even if it's little bites, it should be planned around and prioritized, because I really believe that those feelings are the actual desire of our soul in this life, on this path. And I wanted to do teacher training for an entire year before I started. And in that year, I had to plan. I had to fix my wrist somehow. That took a year. I had to determine how much it was going to cost and see what could be moved around to make it less of a strain. I had to save money when I could, just in case. In that entire year, I was never able to let it go, though. It's like absolutely ridiculous as I thought I was being for even wanting to do this. I just knew I'm starting in January. It is what it is. I've got to do it. It is what it is. We're going to figure it out. And when I would get discouraged and when my wrist wasn't getting any better, I would sometimes be about ready to just call it. You know, this is a fucking pipe dream. But it never went away. And I would just kind of throw my tantrum about it. And the feeling would still be there. You know, and it's just kind of that knowing, once you know, once it knows that you know that it knows that you know, it can't be unknown. It is what it is. It's like you know each other, you've seen each other, and it's always going to be there. And I guess this all kind of sums up to say, it's not selfish to dream, and it's especially not selfish to pursue them. And it can be difficult on you and everybody in your house. Or your circle through extension, but it is not selfish. We all have a right in our lives to grow, and for our souls to tell us how they want to grow, and for us to make it possible while we're here in this life. Even if there's setup involved, even if it takes time to plan, as things get more complicated and uncertain and costs rise, it can be harder and harder and harder to make a decision like this for ourselves. But we must always remember the big picture, you know, the macro view. Like, and you're not just paying money to make your life hard for a while. You're investing in a new future, or time even. Like, you know, sometimes it's not something that's necessarily going to cost in money, but it's going to cost in time, whether it's studying under someone, you know, being an apprentice, things like that. And it's, you're carving out a new identity for yourself, because when you chase a passion, you change. There's no bones about it. When you chase something that your soul wants, the process will change you in a multitude of ways. You know, like, I'm a yoga instructor now and a podcaster now. And if you would have said that to me fucking 6 years ago, I would have absolutely laughed directly into your face. Like, so too close to your face.
Into your mouth.
And yes, right into your mouth. Ridiculous. And
then you would have gone, hey, there's also going to be this COVID thing, so you probably shouldn't laugh into people's mouths like that anymore.
Yeah, then I would have been like, and spit all over you in my sound. But even though I felt ridiculous doing it, and just like how I know you, we've talked about those and starting the podcast, we both felt ridiculous, but we just had to fucking do it. The moment that the idea existed, it was like, fuck, all right, I guess we're doing this. Like, it was there. It was just there. And once it's there,
it's like, it had been born. It was just ready to come home. Yeah.
Yes. Something. And once something is born, that's a good way to put it. Like, again, once it knows that you know that it knows you know, it's out. It's out in the open. And it's not going to leave you alone. It will just always be there. And I'm excited because we're seeming to come into a new age of certification and learning. And I'm excited. I'm so excited about it. I'm seeing it a lot. You know, like, I'll always have love for the university, like, education system. But I lost myself in it. And it kind of took part of me, too. And it's taken me years to get it back. And the realization that I could study whatever I wanted was a liberation. because of like what you said, you get so dialed in, it kind of, it compartmentalizes your brain. You know, it's like, well, yeah, I could take that class. That sounds really interesting. But if I do that, man, I might not fucking graduate until 6 months later. I can't rationalize it, you know, and it gets you into a box of kind of staying in a space. And it's a liberation to know, like, you know what, wait a minute, I can go and see. It doesn't have to be something dull. This could be ridiculous. I could study whatever the hell I want, you know?
I can go
study the fucking
ghost psychology.
Yeah, like my brain immediately went to, so like Prairie Fire Herbal, like every Thursday, just posts a whole bunch of examples of like dicks in art. It's fabulous. And like my brain immediately went to that. Just like, go study tintinnabulums out of Rome. I could do that. Yeah. I could do that if I wanted to. I could do whatever
you
could
I
want.
Become an expert. And
it's amazing. You know, chase down the interest, chase down the passion, even if it takes time, you know? And I know it probably sounds rich coming from someone that like podcasts for a living. And no, I don't have any kids. Like, I get it. It probably does. And I just, all I wanted to get across was that dreams are valid regardless of the situation. They're not lost if you work a 9-to-5. They're not lost if you have a family, when you buy a house, when you partner with somebody else. It doesn't make them go away. They're still there. And they're worth pursuing, even if it means planning well in advance, like I had to do. Start planning. Listen to the call. Give it your eyes. And I really believe that if it's meant to be, and you know if it is, then the universe will find a way for it. Like, selfless people will always put others before them, especially their families. And that's a very admirable thing. However, over time, the selfless person has to grow too. You know, you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to nourish and enrich your spirit too. Because in doing so, you'll flare to life and just continue to enrich others with what you learn and how it helps you grow. And it's why it's important to clarify that it's not selfish. Like, not only in the long run will it maybe help out the family, you know, but it will just breathe passion into you, which will radiate through your space and everybody that you touch. You know, it's a fresh perspective. It can shake loose some of those fantastical lies that we tell ourselves when we're operating kind of in survival mode, or just in kind of the day-to-day mode that can just make things seem, you know, the mode in which we build up castles in our head and walls and make things harder to access. And we are part of a collective. We're a part of families. We're a part of groups. But you have a life, and you have a right to steer that life however you want it. Even if it's starting small with a weekend Reiki course to get attuned, or something large like signing up for a brand new career path, something like, you know, like massage therapy, or seeing if you can find an herbalist to like train under, to study under, you know, it starts with shaking loose the programming that's not for us, because it is for you if your soul is telling you that it is. And there's a lot that goes into pursuing dreams, whether it's standing up against imposter syndrome, which is a nightmare in its own. But monsters eventually get tired and will just go to bed if you're persistent with them. You know, if you just stand up to it enough times. Again, it's like if you take the light away from the piece of paper, the big shadow on the wall disappears and it's just a piece of paper. And, you know, it's exciting to plan. Even though it can be intimidating knowing that things are going to change for a while, when the planning happens, the birthing process starts. You know, something starts. And there's perhaps partners that might not be supportive, or they'll need some help coming around to the idea. There's family obligations that are going to make studying harder. Things are going to be tighter if there's costs involved. There's the status quo, which, while being difficult at times, it's predictable, and that's going to get left behind for a little while. And these are very real, formidable challenges to overcome when deciding to pursue something for your spirit for you answering the call. And sometimes it's easier to martyr ourselves instead of do it. And you deserve the alternative, and you deserve to pursue regardless of the challenges, because challenges for every single one of us are different and they all look different. And it might look like somebody might have an easier opportunity ahead, but we don't know what's underneath. We never know. And it might take time to plan, and the journey itself might be difficult in the moment when you're having to balance it all. But it's never an obligation if you're answering the call. It's a gift. And in those hard times of studying, your soul can sing, you know, knowing that it's absorbing the information that it is going to use to build out the next steps of your path. So put your dreams on paper, work them out. Break them down, make the list of pros and cons, and be fair in it. Be realistic and let yourself believe just for a moment, just as a thought exercise, let yourself imagine the pursuit and then the success and then where it leads you, the aftermath, where you are when it's done. Put a timeline on it. Start hunting for programs. Pick one that you want and pick one that's right. Not the one that just maybe seems the easiest, or pick the one that seems right. And most importantly, allow yourself to be excited, because excitement is a really potent fuel source and it's contagious. Excitement burns through everybody that you're around and it lights up everybody. You can't help it. I mean, unless you're one of those absolute monsters that just loves shutting down other people's excitement. It's contagious, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all known them. But like, generally, when you're around someone that's excited and they're passionate, we can't help but feel it, you know? And those that truly love you should want to see you shine, because it's a beautiful thing to see somebody that you love shining with passion and with a purpose. And everyone deserves that, and you're capable of it. The imposter syndrome is just a shadow monster. Especially when the light source moves from it to you. And a year or 6 months, 18 months, spit and passion will fly. And I can say that in my own personal experience, and it will also change you. So just allow yourselves to believe, and more importantly, allow yourselves to feel worthy of the investment, because dreams matter, including yours. And start planning. Or if you're already planning, allow yourself to get excited. Or if you're in the process of doing something like this, remember that you're chasing the dream and you did the right thing. It's all throughout the stages. We always just need to remember that when we're doing something like this for ourselves, it is never an obligation, even though sometimes it can feel like one. It's a gift. And we do a lot for our spirit and also a lot for those around us through extension when we give ourselves that. So anyway, that's my long rambling foray into call answering.
You know, I'm sitting here wondering, because this was going to be what you talked about last week. I'm wondering in what way the putting it off until this week is going to make sense. Cause I feel like that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's going to be part of it, at least, you know. But I remember even at the time, like last week, and I know I spoke about it on the episode, I was like having this feeling. I was like, I just don't know if everything we were supposed to be doing that day was supposed to be happening at that time. You know what I mean? And it's like,
it felt pointed.
Right. It did. It felt very targeted. And I'm wondering, I'm like, hey, I wonder if there's just like more people that's going to ring true for this week. Or you know what I mean? I don't know how to phrase it, but.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I've wondered the same thing. If there was a reason that it needed to be today.
Yeah. Yeah. A Macy is never late, nor is she early.
Yes. I arrive expectly. Wait, not expectly. I arrive exactly. What is the line? My brain shit itself. As I intend to, I arrive when he means to. That's it.
She arrives 1 week after she means to.
1 week.
Oh, it's been. Wow.
Well, and we're back in.
whatever entrancement you had into the always well spoken and put together topics that Macy brings to the table, we can break you out of them just as fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Underneath it all, I will jump at any moment to still throw a bare naked ladies in there somewhere.
Yeah. Underneath everything, it's really just one of those clashing cymbals monkey toys. I don't mean your brain. Yes. I just mean this show.
Yes. Yeah. Y'all can't forget what we are.
Perhaps maybe the thing that you're wanting to run towards, and perhaps the call that is happening to you, is to expand your, how do I say this, witchiness. Expand your knowledge on different subjects, different topics. If only there was something to help with that venture.
We are talking to you today. We have a return sponsor, first of all. That Witch Life is putting on another con, and this one is a little mini con, and there's quite a few goodies in here, and it really does resonate with today's topic as an accident, because as you all know, this was prepared in advance. But it really does, as you know, this is a great, like, for instance, the first words are, you work, you go to school, you pay rent, you go to the grocery store, you live your life. You may not live in a cottage in the woods stirring a cauldron all day, but you're still a witch, right? That's us too. And that just really fits in with this, I feel like. It's like, we need to remember underneath it all what we are.
And I also love sort of the tagline is, it's a virtual con... Excuse me. It's a virtual conference on living as a witch in today's world, because we kind of have to accept the fact that, you know, in our maladaptive daydreaming, we can be that cottage witch that doesn't have real, things to do. But we do. We have jobs and cars to fix and dinners to cook and shit like that. Yes. So to have a way to kind of learn how to navigate that. Is, I was going to say, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me, Macy. Invulnerable? No.
Well, it's, I was going to say enriching, enriching and validating too, because, you know, sometimes it can be like, yeah, like, we're modern witches, but like, is that as cool as like standing in front of one of them, like 3 foot wide cauldrons, like in an old cobblestone house somewhere, you know, like making... I don't know.
Speaking
charms
of cauldron,
and whatnot.
One of the featured presenters is actually doing a workshop called Cauldron Magic.
See? You still can do it. And that's what I love about this. This is going on April 1st, 2023. And there's all kinds of really interesting stuff going on. There is a shadow magic course by Hillary, who is part of that Witch Life. There is all kinds of goodies here. There's going to be a raffle. Love a raffle. I love a raffle, man. So much.
Raffles and giveaways and a live ritual. Yeah. If it has been a while since you've participated in a ritual, sometimes you just get the itch. You're like, I
know. Oh, man, and you
do
a
ritual. You can join from anywhere because, again, this is the internet. It's 2023. This new series of tubes exists. I feel like
I really stated
myself with that one.
And you know what I love is like in listing off some of the things that we were mentioned is going to be there, the cherry on it all, you know, there's raffles, there's rituals, you know what there is? There's shenanigans. And I just really appreciated that. And shenanigans. It's like, hell yeah. So, these classes are going to be recorded. So if you can't join on that set day, you're still going to get the recording later. And right now there's early bird pricing. going on. That's going to go up on March 6th. So if you want to grab some tickets, you can go on over to thatwitchlife.com, get you some tickets, find you a little space in this little mini con and a little virtual conference for everybody. It seems like there's going to be some really interesting stuff going on, a little something for everybody. And if nothing else, a group ritual. Sometimes, especially if you feel a little uncertain about doing magic in the presence of others, as I do sometimes, like a virtual ritual is still very powerful. And it might feel a little more comfortable if the thought of being there and practicing with others around you seems a bit too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes an at distance ritual is exactly what you need to sort of kind of get you back connected. And if you've never done one, if you've never felt that weird electricity in the air, whoa, this is possible to do, even though I'm hundreds of miles away from everybody else doing this. It's something else. And as another aside, if you're like me, stuff like this, I love to see it when the schedule is posted. The schedule's already up, so if you want to go trawl through that, that's fun.
Yeah,
I'm a nerd.
Just go see.
I love my schedule.
Go check it out. Hey, I know. And you can... You can go give it a look one more time. That is thatwitchlife.com. And let's go. You can go learn, do some studying, do some ritualing, some raffling, some learning.
Shenanigans.
All kinds of things going on. Yeah, some shenanigans. That is April 1st. And this is put on by That Witch Life. So check it out.
Brother, I'm sitting here watching Luke Bryan refuse to get off the floor.
Yeah, it goes on for a long time, like a really
too long
time.
Yeah. I think he wanted a break.
Yeah, needed to take a breather. Yeah.
Ew. Why are his dance moves gross?
Because he's greasy.
He pointed his ass at the at the viewers, reached through, and like, grabbed his asshole through his legs. Stop it, Luke Bryan.
Yeah. So.
Okay. This feels like a pretty good time to talk to you about lilies. Lilies, or here's the thing, Macy. One of the reasons that I up front, I said there wasn't like, although I couldn't find that much. It's because it is so goddamn hard to find just actual lilies. Because listen here, there's water lily. There's fucking lily of the valley. There's, calla lily. Okay. Mm. None of those, by the way, are goddamn lilies. I'm talking about lilies. I know, man. Here's the thing. Oh, I said I was going to try to not sniff, but I did it real bad. I'm talking about Lilium candidum.
I remember candidum, and every time I hear it, I'm like, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, makes me feel like, woof.
Yeah.
So this botanic name is Lilium. But not any of those other goddamn false lilies. They're tricksy and false. So.
Okay. Wow.
Do you ever just scroll through your notes trying to find your next thing and then your brain just kind of fills the gap in while you're looking?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's amazing what my brain can do when I completely disassociate and shut it off trying to figure something else out.
So lilies, or lilium, is native to the northern hemisphere, and they do like a warm climate, maybe extending to something you might call subtropic. But the thing
are they also a bulb?
They are a bulb. They are a bulb. They are a big. I'm going to talk about their bulbs here in a minute. Their bulbs got some. Their bulbs got some shit that needs to be talked about.
Okay.
So even though they are mostly native to the Norman hemisphere, to the northern hemisphere, and they like a specific, like, they prefer a certain acidity and they prefer it to be XYZ and this, that, and the other. There's so many types of lilies, even within this, like, true lily, this lilium category, that, man, you know what? Some of them, like a fucking bog. Some of them grow in the winter in certain places versus the spring and summer, which is like what most of them do. But like there's outliers everywhere. So you can't put any hard and fast rules on lilies. And the more I read about this, the more I read about how anytime somebody would come along and say, lilies like this kind of soil, it was always comma, but there's a handful that like this opposite kind of soil.
Okay. Okay.
Every single time there was like a hard rule, there was also like a counter to it. And just going through it, it just gave big grow where you're planted vibes. It gave big this is not necessarily one of those plants that it's like you could chuck the seeds anywhere and they'll grow no matter what. Like they're specific kinds of lilies are still going to prefer what they prefer. But over time, there is this adaptation. You know, there's going to be a group of lily that wants to welcome you in. There's some lilies that bloom at night. There's lilies that bloom in the day. There, you know what I mean? Like, no matter what your little subsect of lily might be, or in this analogy, your subsect of person, your group is out there. You know, and you can find them, and you know, it's okay that things are a little bit, this group is a little bit different. They're a little bit wacky. They're a little bit on the strange side, because there's others out there that are like that. Now, as we said, there are the imposter lilies. So please be careful of what you are looking at. Just hearing the word lily in the name can throw you off, because there are plenty out there that have the word lily in the name that are like poison, maybe, you know, or they're not going to have the same thing. So please look for that. The botanic name is always. Now, listen, did you know, do you know how tall lilies can get, dude? 6 feet.
I believe that. I bet there's some tropical, like some jungle lilies out there that can just kick your ass.
And I'm used to the lilies that, cut like bulbs that I've planted before that come up to like max crotch height, you know? And, did I mention that lily is my favorite flower? Cause I wanted to have
lilies
about that.
They're really up there for me too. They actually might be my favorite flower too. I'm trying to think of one that I like more, and I can't, because generally lilies are my favorite flower.
I love lilies. I love lilies so much. Hydrangea is the only thing that I think gets kind of close, but I love me a lily. And they're so versatile. There's so many different kinds of lilies. They come in just about every color. You know, the big broad leaf shape that they have. Of course, there's those, but there's ones that have, like, you've seen those lilies that almost look spidery, you know, in their.
We have those here. Those grow here. There's a lot of tiger lilies that were planted here a long time ago, and those spring up every season, and I love those. I also love stargazer ones, the pink and white ones with the flecks on them. I just love them. I think they're really beautiful. Beautiful flowers. But yeah, the little spider lilies are pretty sweet. They're little red frilly ones.
I'm a fan of, I forget what they call them, but lily is one of the flowers that they have gotten damn near black. And there's some really interesting color patterns within lilies. There's like the bloody kind that look like the center is like blood red, and then it like fades to dark black. You know, and it just looks like a drop of blood has hit them. There's so many.
Very goth.
Oh, God damn it. Do I love lilies?
Yeah.
So they're even though they can kind of switch up how they grow, you know, how tall they come and the different ways that their petals look, their flowers are often large and they smell very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I've not known a lily to be overwhelmingly scented. It just smells like a fresh flower. Yeah.
They do love to dust your nose with their little What is it? Stamens or sperm? Pistils? Pistils? I don't know.
I don't know.
Cum dust.
You know what the... Exactly. Yeah, we start... Hey, what did we start this episode with? Tree jizz. And we're back.
There you go.
Oh. Hold on, let's see. Boop, boop, boop. And as a word of warning, some lilies or lilium species are toxic to cats. Do not let your cats suck on them. However, there are ones that we can eat. We can eat specific types. I'll get into them later. I name them by names because there's so many of them and I want you guys to be careful. but just because we can eat it doesn't mean your cat can suck on it. Always keep that in mind.
Yes. So. That's just an important thing to remember in general. Like,
yeah,
our pets are not humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just remember that.
We can use essential oils all day long. They have a pretty assorted relationship.
We can eat grapes. Your dog cannot. He
cannot. We can eat chocolate cake. Your dog probably shouldn't. but that's okay, because you know what your dog can do? Your dog can eat raw chicken and not get salmonella. So it comes and goes. It comes and goes. Now, there is a little tale. Not anything wrong, but there's the tale of Juno when she was nursing Hercules. Some of her titty milk squirted away from her,
rolled
down the Juno breast, and some of it, as it squirted into the sky, became the Milky Way, which I will never, ever think of the Milky Way the same ever again.
Me neither. That's a cool origin story. I like that we're all just cosmic tit milk.
Tit milk, man. Tit milk. Yeah, the parts of tit milk that fell to Earth, which apparently, you know, because these old legends, they're not scientific. So Earth already existed. The whole ass Milky Way didn't exist, but Earth did for some reason. Anyway, so the drips that did not become the Milky Way, they fell to Earth and became lilies. And this is...
I like it.
Specifically, we're talking about what they call, not Medusa. No, not Medusa. The mother of Jesus, Mary. Mary Got lilies, it. I believe, is what they are called. Which are the all-white lilies. Which are, again, I like an all-white lily. I think it's...
They're beautiful.
I like an all-white flower. It's...
Yeah.
It's striking.
They're very creamy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of imagery about lilies through the Bible. Now, a lot of those have been translated to not be the lilium lily. That's like Lily of the Valley or whatever. But where they are talking about lilium, it seems that they're talking about those all white Mary. I believe that's what they're called. Mary lilies. I've got it here in my notes in a second. Excuse me. But there's also ties to Lilith and to sex magic, because there is a... There's a phallusness, or not a phallusness. What's the other word? It doesn't look like a phallus. It looks like a vagine. A vaginiousness to flowers, usually.
Okay.
It has been tied to, like, because of the way it's woven into religion and stuff like that, and just the vaginious nature of flowers. There is a tie to Lilith and sex magic. So depending on what you're using it for and the colors that you're using, you can make yourself a potent little, perhaps a gift to Lilith with these lilies. You could also make some pretty sweet, like, I'm just thinking like a body oil, like get you some like red looking lilies, maybe those goth ass lilies, make you a body oil out of them. Dude, that'd be sexy as hell. But you can also, on the other side of things, use them to be like purity, you know, and very not sexy things. So they've got this double-sided coin, right? Now, in the past, the Romans, Macy, the Romans used the bulbs of lilies.
Okay.
Can you guess where they put these things?
They put it up their butts.
No.
Damn it. I just knew that was it.
Love the enthusiasm, though. Where have the Romans put every
did they put it on their feet? Did they roll it on the bottoms of their feet?
They put it on their feet.
Were they all just foot fucking? Is that all the Romans
What's
did?
What's happening?
Give foot jobs?
It's just they've got calluses for days from these foot jobs.
I mean, gosh.
Yeah, but they would, yeah, they would use them on their feet. The Romans, really, really a foot-loving society. And they would, you know, try to do that. I also saw, and I wish I remembered exactly where I saw this, because it was a cute little thing. It seems that there's a tradition, typically a European tradition, that if you would offer a bunch of flowers to a mother and she went for a lily, the baby was said to be a boy. Don't know why. But there you go. Perhaps my favorite bit is lilies are linked to vampires.
Cool.
And I didn't put two and two together until I read more about this. And I was like, you know what? I have seen a lot of imagery of lilies with vampires. I've seen, you know, in a lot of movies, there's, you know, lilies, or when the vampires are hanging out, you know, in the cemetery, there's lilies there, because lilies are one of the flowers that have been widely used for funerals and for even today, you know, if somebody's having a funeral and you can send, I see a lot of lilies used at funerals and being left on grave sites and things like that. So they have this kind of natural tie to death. So with a lot of things like that, of course, it worked its way into that kind of thing. And now it's linked to vampires. And I think it's cool that if we pay attention, we might see more of that, because I've kind of been thinking back and been like, you know, I think in, you know, XYZ movie, there was like a field of lilies at some point, you know, so I'm going to have fun looking at that. Wasn't there a lily on one of the Twilight covers?
That's New Moon, I think.
Okay.
Unless it's an iris. It might be an iris. Hold on.
I'm looking it up.
Which I also love. And I don't want the world to see me.
I don't think that they'd understand.
Let me find it. I just searched New Moon and expected my phone to know what I meant. It's that looks like an iris to me.
Yeah, that's an iris. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, close enough, okay? But
there you go. It's a bulb.
It's a bulb. Which I want to talk to you about them bulbs. Let me talk to you about my bulbs. Oh, also, I jumped the gun a little bit. I wanted to talk more about the link to vampires, because these flowers are also, again, connected to death. They have this inherent connection to the moon and to water and very kind of emotional things like that. Through the Bible, again, we see this being depicted. Usually, you know, these elements of like the night and softness are represented by like a lily or by water, you know, stuff like that. So there's this tie. Anyway, moving on to the bulbs. So the bulbs, you can apparently eat like a potato. They are starchy, and a lot of people consider them, they just kind of throw them onto the root vegetable list.
I'm so scared this is going to poison everyone. It seems so wrong.
I know, right? Which is why I am being, please don't just go rip bulbs out and eat them. Even if you're looking at the tag that says lilium, do not eat shit unless you know what it is. And even if you know what it is, get three other opinions. But, yes. And now I'm taking this next part directly from Wiki. This is what Wiki says. The parts of the lilium species, which are officially listed as food material, and this is in Taiwan, are the flowers and bulbs of Lilium lancifolium, Lilium brownivar, verdium, Lilium pumium, and Lilium candidum. So...
okay.
Those are the one. That's what I've, you know, the flowers from those can be eaten as root vegetables. They should always be cooked, obvi. But they might be a little bit bitter. Some people feel that they are bitter. Now, in the North American region, indigenous people have been eating, where are they? The bulbs of the Lilium columbinium. Columbinium. Yeah, columbinium. Forever. And they will typically boil them or kind of cook them in like a pit, which sounds pretty goddamn good. In the Victorian language of flowers. Lilies mean a couple of different things. I saw on one hand that they are like affection. Not necessarily like you're going to send it to the love of your life, but you can send it to like your girlfriends, you know, send it to your, send it to your a good friend. Yeah. And depending, of course, what color you use, it means different things. On the other hand, I saw that in the language of flowers, the lily was used to represent, I don't want to say kingliness, but like that air of righteousness, you know, and that air of like being pure and strong and kingly, you know, divinity. And sort of that strength, I guess maybe you would send these to someone that you liked, but you also like really respect. But typically they were sent as just like a, hey, lackey, thinking about you. And a lot of the times were yellow and orange was typically the ones that seemed to be used, which when I think about lilies, those yellow and orange ones, like they're like yellow with like the flecks of orange. Yeah. Those are always the ones I think of anyway. Yeah. So just like a little, hey, I'm thinking about you. I like you. Yeah. So, I called them Mary lilies. I'm sorry. I was thinking quite literally they're Madonna lilies. Madonna lilies, all right. Not Mary lilies. Excusez-moi. But they are the ones that have a very significant place in the Bible. And these flowers have become very special to Christians. I've noticed, look at things through this lens. Remember when we talked about the yew tree? And then we started seeing like yew trees like through all different kinds, or like when we talked about Green Man and how he's like hiding in a lot of churches. Yeah. This is another one. There's lots of like stained glass with these Madonna lilies. I've seen a lot of gravestones have lilies etched on them because, you know, the gravestone language is a whole thing. Like the praying hands mean something. The angel means something. Like there's meaning behind everything that you put on a gravestone. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that these flowers are big around Easter, particularly the Madonna lilies. They give me that Easter Ostara feeling when I look at them. I just get that. Yeah. It's spring.
Yeah, they feeling. Do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I finally just looked them up. They are absolutely the spring Ostara flower. It makes me think of grocery, like when you walk into the grocery stores there.
Yes. Are. They're everywhere. Yeah, they're everywhere. And I feel like, you know, it's that a big package of those next to like their marked up eggs that they're selling at that time of the year. And which, I mean, God damn, eggs are already expensive. Can you imagine here in a bit when we're
natural ones are better. It's interesting. Like I've not noticed too big of an issue because the eggs that I get haven't really changed in price. But like.
Well, did your
some,
hand,
you know,
did
like
your,
some have.
Did your chickens lay through the winter or do all chickens?
No, they never do.
Yeah.
Some do. Mine do not.
Some do.
So sure. When I do, I usually get, I get a brand called Vital Farms and they're cute. Like you can scan where they came from. They even have a hen of the month. But they've stayed about the same price the whole time, but they're done differently. The issues were not as bad for those kinds of conditions.
I just I saw someone recently refer to eggs as the new status symbol, and like there's all these videos. We've talked about the container videos on TikTok before, you know, all the putting every single thing in your fridge into a different container. There's this dude who just basically stitches those videos, and he's like, he looks like he's half passed out, and he's like wrapped in a blanket. He looks like that picture of you from the Magnolia Hotel, and he just goes until he sees eggs. And then he's like, oh, eggs, you're rich. And then he'll like scroll to the next one. And I was like kind of laughing. And I was like, that's cute. Until I actually had to buy eggs. And I was like, this is less cute.
Yeah. They've actually gone down. The free range eggs actually went down in price from like last week. So I'm like, isn't that interesting? Not when nobody's dying of bird flu from being crammed in tiny, tiny, tiny boxes.
You sound like you have thoughts on this.
I do, but for another day.
For another topic, perhaps?
Yeah.
I gotta stop. I'm sorry. Okay, so let's get into some metaphys. Let's get into some metaphys. Now, we've already touched on some of this, but if we're talking moon magic, if we're talking magic that has to do with the elements, this can be a stand-in for water. If we're talking any kind of highly emotional spell, this can be used then. If we're talking about sex magic or maybe invocations and or gifts for Lilith, all uses that are good for the Lilium. However, there's also a place within protection. Now, a lot of shit, dude. I feel like we can't even Google one thing without it being like, it's good for protection. However, this was more like dialed in. This is a good flower to repel anything negative coming at you.
I could see that. I could see it in their shape. Like, even in their shape, that's what it looks like they should do. It's like just kind of like a boing, it shoots it back out. Yeah.
Like a big trampoline.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
A trumpet.
But it's good for repelling things. Whether these things have been sent your way by perhaps a person, or maybe they are just, it's an entity that you don't necessarily want hanging around. These are excellent to have around. I had this mental image when I read this of getting like a bouquet of lilies, or just getting like a couple of lilies and setting them up all nice in your house, and they're beautiful. And I imagine them just like wilting and dying like super early, and then just being like, yep, I knew it. And they've done their job. And for some reason that like really stuck out to me. Cause you know, there's that thing about like, if your house plants are dying and you don't know why, you're doing your best, it's perhaps because they are the first line of, like, they're sucking shit out of the air before you do.
Right. Yes.
Which is nice. You know, that's nice.
It is. It's noble.
We don't deserve it. But yeah, if you get yourself some lilies and you put them perhaps in an area where you've been feeling some negativity, keep me updated. I want to know if anyone does this. And I want to know if you feel like these just absolutely shit out before they should have. I think that would be fun. Anyway, you can also use this to repel something else that you don't want. As is the case with some of these flowers that are like, you can use in love spells and you can use to like bring love or represent love. There's also a use in repelling unwanted love.
There's a place for that.
Oh, a big place. Oh, a big place. Yeah. And I feel like if you're at the point where you're like, okay, I gotta do something about this. At that point, it's no longer love. It's just another form of negativity being sent your way. So if you've got perhaps a little somebody who, you know, we all know, if there's a little somebody who's not getting the hint, not going away, I don't know, throw lilies at their faces. Give them
an allergic reaction. Crush them in your hands and then just
blow them right in their nose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And lastly, I saw that if you plant these, bulbs around your home, which, you know, I didn't really talk that much about the bulbs. I've got more to say about the bulbs. Let me finish this. If you plant these bulbs around your house, not necessarily like cut and have them in vases, but if you have them actively growing in your home or at your home, they are said to keep away entities, just sort of permanently. Now, the exact words that were used is keeps ghosts away, which I don't like. I'm not trying to keep my ghosts away.
I don't want to keep my ghosts away.
I don't want to keep my ghosts away. However, I am wondering if you can maybe be a little targeted with this. Perhaps just be like, hey, I'm not sending anyone away, but no new friends, you know, no new dudes just sort of wandering through the door unless I know you. You know what I mean? Take that for what you will. And lastly, the bulbs that I totally forgot to talk about, and it's not really a huge deal, but it does go with this grow where you're planted, you'll find your people kind of vibe that lilies have. The balls on these things are scaly. Yeah. They're like scaly, like, you know, like a horseradish root. You know how it like has those kind of thin looking scales? That's kind of what these bulbs look like. Like little little paint chips almost coming off of them. And they're badass motherfuckers, dude. These things are tough. You can plant them just slightly underground and they'll probably be fine. And you can plant them like hella deep underground and they're going to find their way. They're going to find their way out.
That's what I love about bulbs, man. They just really don't care that much.
You can almost just like throw bulbs out and put dirt over them and then just walk away. I mean, basically,
yeah, that's like, what you dude, do. 3 years ago, I planted like the big, like the colossal mammoth. I don't remember what the word is. The big elephant ears, right?
Yes.
And I remember it said, like, you need to dig them up every winter. I've never done that. They come back every year. They don't care. They survived the ice year. They didn't. They were under it for 2 weeks of frozen ground. Yeah. They're fine. They don't care.
They don't care, man. And I've done, like, when I first started, like, planting bulbs, I was very meticulous about being like, okay, this is the bottom, this is the top, so I need to make sure this faces up. Now, you can throw them in upside down on purpose, just for fun, you know?
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
Yeah. I don't recommend it because it seems mean to do.
But it does.
It feels a little mean. But yeah, so that's lily, or lilium, if you will. And I will never, ever look at the Milky Way and not think of titty spray.
Me neither. Now, I'm thinking of, I'm thinking of some tit mist.
I'm liking it quite a lot, though. Like, I think that's one of the more badass, like, creation myths.
We're all just shot out of a big old pair of mommy milkers, man.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Laser would be so into it.
Laser would be hard 24/7.
Yes. Yes.
Dude, Laser's the kind of guy that has, like, really tasteful breast art everywhere.
Oh, he would literally have a bust.
Yeah.
Like a literal bust.
Oh, yeah. Five of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Arranged like in a pentacle.
Yeah. And he nothing gross, you know, just a high level of respect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like, Laszlo's vulva garden.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wow. I wish I had more to say now.
Well, we can go straight to business because we've got some business to discuss, some updates for you guys. First of all, listen to me, every one of you. Oh. Perk your goddamn ears. Today
hey, oh, you people.
Is the last day. If today was your last day. It's the last day. Do you hear me? God. It's the last one to get the print. If you want this print and it's badass Crone Sailor Moon glory, you got to get it today or you're never getting it. Unless somebody magically bought it for you and didn't tell you, but don't count on that. Okay? You got to look after yourself in this world.
Oh, that really tickled me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, get it. Print.
WBAHprintshop.com is where you can get that. And then you guys know we're as serious as the fucking plague. It's not coming back.
We mean
which,
it. We mean
have
it
we ever had
so
one
much.
Come back? No, we've never had one come
never
back.
Will.
No, no.
Yep.
No,
never will. Not happening. No. So if you want it, get it. Along with that, we've got tickets available for the tour. We're coming for you. Get your tickets. Seats are limited. Like, seriously, we're talking like these are nice little tight shows. You understand? Ooh. So look at those tickets. Tight. Snatch you a couple up. We got Philly 2 days. We've got Nyack, New York for one evening show. And we might have another date unlocking for you guys, hopefully here soon. It's one that a lot of you guys have really asked for. We're doing what we can to make it happen. So look at the tour, check out the tickets. We've got some, we got shenanigans coming.
We got shenanigans. Shenanigans are coming. And I'm not saying that there's going to be audience participation and maybe a prize, for someone, maybe. But there might be.
Exactly.
We might call some of your asses on stage.
We might. I don't know yet. And you know what? You'll have no say. You will.
Mandatory.
One last thing here.
What if you were like, one last thing here? I'm quitting the show.
Yeah, well, the show ends today. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Oh, God. Didn't even tell me or anything. You just leave. You just fucking
No, bounce. Done. Done. No more. You never hear from me again. I disappear.
Bye-bye.
So we are, Charlie and me are attending something really fucking fun. So Saturday, March 11th, we're going to the Witch's Ball Battle of the Gods. It's going to be badass, man.
Oh, yeah. Where
so
is
if you're
that?
In the area, Rockwall, Texas, my guy, at the castle, at a place that looks like and is called the Castle. It's going to be amazing. Like, there's going to be games. There's going to be, like, games. There's different lounges. There's the Oracle of Delphi is going to be there in the flesh. Yeah. It's going to be fantastic. Tons of vendors. So if you're in the area and you want to come to, in, like, a full-on ball, like, yo, I bought a gown. Do you know how
and
long
it looks good,
it has
dude.
Been
I know I, since I don't think dude. I've told you, but it looks really good.
It looks really good. Like, I put it on, I was just like, okay, I've got to get it altered. But, like, aside from that, I was like, fuck, dude. All right. So, no, we're coming. It's going to be great. That's on the 11th again. So if you're in the area and you want to check it out, it sounds like a really, really great time. This is the latest in a series of these events that have been put on. I know that Casey has been to several. One of our moderators and neighbor just down the road from here has been to them. They always look absolutely fabulous. If you want to come on out, come on out. Seems like it's going to be a good time. So that's the Witch's Ball, the Battle of the Gods.
We'll be there. I can't promise you that I won't be in a toga.
Hey, toga's a toga's a toga.
Toga's a toga's a toga. You gotta do what you gotta do what you gotta do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think I've hurtled all of our announcements at you.
Well, I guess there's only one thing left to do. Get out your guitars, kick off your boots, pull out your harmonicas, come sit by the fire. Sit on a rained on wet log.
Yeah.
You put your feet in the sort of muddy dirt around the fire. Grab you a bottle of some beverage.
Yeah.
And take a big scoop from the cauldron before you, which rolls and tumbles.
Hell yeah.
The hot, beautiful bean. I mean, review footage.
It never gets any easier. After years, it's still so hard. I know. Oh, my God.
Today's review comes from Hazel Harth. And they've entitled this, Witch or Not, You Gotta Listen.
Yeah, you do.
And I know we haven't done... Listen, I am picking up where we left off. I know we haven't done a beautiful review footage in a while. But goddamn, if this is not one that it's going to sound like I picked out because it is because it praises us so heavily. And
oh, shit.
Don't think that. I'm just, here we go. Hazel Harth, I cannot stop listening to this thing. Can we only refer to us as this thing? I love that.
I think that's a really accurate description for the show.
I can't stop listening to this thing. Listening as I type, in fact. These women are so funny, so knowledgeable, and play so well off of each other. There's a reason why nearly every review says that they feel like they're just hanging out with their friends. Very relatable, very informative, so lovable, and inspires me to be a better, self-loving witch every day. Macy and Charlie inspire me to take my craft one day at a time and really get to know it without the intimidation of doing it the right way. The breadth and depth of the topics they cover will, at the very, very least, teach you something new. I want to hang out with you guys. Couldn't recommend more. Whoa!
Thank you. That's very, very kind. I started out of a nervous habit rubbing my palm against my leg because I don't know how to receive compliments.
Yeah, I'm worming my hands together because I'm like, I don't
know. Very kind, though. Thank you, Hazel Hearth.
Yeah. Which I love the word hearth. Anytime you can work hearth into something, I come on. Yeah.
It makes me think of Hearth and Hedge. Like what a good alliterative name, Hearth and Hedge.
Hearth and Hedge. Hearth and Hedge. Which if you haven't checked it out, check out the Hearth and Hedge podcast.
I did an interview over there not that long ago.
You did. You did do it. Not long at all. I listened to it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. You know what you guys should check out? I was trying to remember my segue.
What you should do?
You should go to our Facebook, Witch Amateur Hour. Instagram at Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. Twitter at Bitch Hour. Sorry, I know usually I throw these over to you, Mace, but I'm just going to blow through them. WabahPodcast@gmail.com. Patreon.com/WabahPodcast, which, by the way, updates are coming to that Patreon. We're gonna do a little bit of an overhaul, so check it out soon. OnlyFans.com/WabahPodcast as well. Occasionally we're gonna try to be OnlyFansing it up a little bit more for you. Listen to me. I know we had this idea of like going and maybe doing like a picnic lunch and perhaps throwing it up on Patreon, but like, or not on Patreon, on OnlyFans. But if you like told any stranger, you were like, yeah, I'm going to go do an OnlyFans of the graveyard. How awful would they think you are?
You'll get some eyebrows probably shot all the way up.
Yeah.
To their
and not awful.
If they have them.
If they have them. You got to remember that. Dude, we really got to do another, like off the cuff meditation.
Guided meditation. Yeah. We should do that. Good Patreon, some Patreon content.
I've thought about doing one, and I believe you did do one. I've thought about doing one just to kind of throw up over there.
They're nice.
But there's something special about us just doing one completely unprepared and just seeing where it goes.
Off the cuff, man. And so on that note, if you are not aware, if you do join Patreon, everything that we have ever done is accessible to you in the tier that you selected.
If you're not in on that joke, the eyebrows, if you have them joke, you gotta go.
Well, that one was in a free episode, but I did just want to mention that the one that I did over there, you could get it. I mean, it just so like I just not everybody knows that you get everything that we've ever
That's
done. So
Rocco
basically for $5, all a Rocco and laser right there. Well, actually maybe three. It might be just three for them. So there's all kinds of shit over there. There's like 60 bonus episodes for 10 and 20, which we're going to be shifting stuff around. We're going to be maybe making things a little bit juicier per tier and maybe a little cheaper.
You whispered so quietly, I didn't hear what you said.
Really nice. Maybe a little cheaper. We've got some plans for everybody.
The economy. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that. Help support your favorite show. It's literally how we pay our bills. We keep this show free. And also, nobody owns us. We're totally independent. So
We bring you the ads we want to bring you.
Yeah, so help
Which,
keep that
I mean,
alive.
Which, I mean, we've always said we would jazz. Do, anyway.
What? Keep ads from being asshole ads?
Yeah, only do, because, like, I know that's something we struggled with. I mean, just to kind of have a small conversation at the end of the episode when it's technically already over, but I know that's something we struggled with when we were like, should we try to monetize our work, you know what I mean? And I'm a big proponent of monetize your what you love to do, and I don't think that there's any shame in it, blah blah blah. So I'm not sorry is what I'm saying. However, we kind of were like, yeah, I guess, but like I don't want to do like HelloFresh ads, which I mean I guess
honestly,
could be like we could do like a witchy, like a kitchen witch thing. That'd be kind of cool. But you know what I mean?
Sure. Like smaller businesses, the little guys. Yeah,
fucking, what did Eldritch say? We're not going to be doing like Raid Shadow Legends ads or anything anytime soon. NordVPN.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you know who we are at this point. That's who you get. And we're going to prop up people, that we think needs to be propped up. So, you're always going to get that.
A little segue here to bring it back around. If you are interested, if you do have a witchy, this is open for everybody. There's no size limit of like the business.
No.
What I mean?
I don't guess we've ever talked about it.
No.
We charge $170 flat fee. That's it.
Right. Yeah. And, there's more information on that depending on what kind of product that you do. It doesn't matter what your business is. You don't have to sell a physical thing, you know, whatever. If you're interested in that, is my point. Send us an email over to wbahpodcast@gmail.com and just put like ad or advertisement or something in the subject line. Makes it a little easier for us to find.
Yeah.
That's all I got, man.
All right. I think we can roll on out of here now.
Now that we've
so desperately have
begged
to
for your money. Oh,
yes,
go pee.
We have in a multitude of different avenues. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, we're really out here trying to drain you dry.
We've drained you. Yeah.
Yeah. And
we've milked you.
So
we're taking a break from our pledge drive to kick some ass.
Milked you just like the cosmic tit milk that we all are.
Oh,
yeah.
That was a nice tie-in. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you. Goodbye, everyone. Click.
Country girl, shake it for me, girl. Where are my notes?